This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
All right, we are back with an instant reaction podcast here to spring football practice number one for the 2024 Miami Hurricanes. Fun day, plenty of new faces to check out. We'll get into that here in a second. I think off the top, we should start with the new stuff. Plenty of guys out this spring, which is pretty standard. Lots of guys had cleanup surgeries after the season. So guys like Akeem Mezador, who's expected to be back eventually in the spring, there's guys like that. There's also guys that are just out, like the Maui Noah brothers are both probably going to be out the entire spring as they recover. Nigel E. Kelly is out. Damari Brown was limited today. He's expected to be back. You can check out the full list of guys that are out or limited on InsideTheU.com. We'll get that up here pretty soon. So just wanted to get that on the front end in case we don't talk about someone that, you know, wasn't out there. That's why. All right, so let's just go position by position, Gabby. And let's start, of course, with quarterback. Cam Ward, Reese Poffenbarger, Jakari Brown were kind of the top three guys. Emery Williams was getting some work in there too. As he's coming back from his broken arm deal that he sustained in the FSU game. And Judd Anderson. My big takeaway, Gabby, and look, we got to watch seven periods, I think, today, which was nice. We saw mostly some on-air work. We did see some one-on-ones. My main takeaway is I think the quarterback room's on point. Very few balls hit the ground. Again, it's on-air, in short, so take it all with a grain of salt. But that has not been the case always on day ones that we have watched, whether that's spring football or fall practice. The thing that stands out to me about Cam Ward, he gets the ball out quick, has that quick delivery. Reese Poffenbarger, he's on the smaller side, definitely, with his body type, but I don't think arm strength is an issue. So that was pleasantly surprising to me. I think he made some nice throws in one-on-ones downfield that were encouraging. And I thought Jakari Brown looked really good, relative to how he normally looks on day ones. Throwing into the net, he threw it with accuracy today. So I was encouraged by that. Overall, I feel good about the quarterback room. What jumped out to you, Gabby, about the quarterbacks?
A lot of the same. And I think the main takeaway is just that I feel you walk away from this feeling just, again, good about where the quarterback room is at right now. Cam Ward, you know, I think he displayed some of that big time arm, that quick delivery. I think I feel like he threw it from a couple different sort of arm slots. I feel like he kind of has almost like a three quarters release at times, or at least I saw that a few times. I'm not sure if that's like an everyday thing, but I mean, he showed the ability to kind of fit it into tight windows, even during those one-on-ones, you know, even like those short to intermediate routes. I feel like he did a good job delivering strikes and putting it in places where only his receiver can get it. And, you know, even with good coverage, I thought he threw some really good balls there. Again, downfield, I thought he put the ball where it needed to be and helped his guys make some plays. He delivered a really good ball to Xavier Restrepo, who kind of beat Michelle Powell, kind of back end of that last period. Thought it was an awesome ball. With Reese Poffenbarger, I think the biggest takeaway is just the arm strength. Like, I didn't really know what to expect, David. I mean, we hadn't really seen him throw. And I thought Reese Poffenbarger, if we're talking about someone who could be a potential quarterback at the power four level now, I thought Reese Poffenbarger's arm, again, at least what we saw during one-on-ones and, during those on-air drills, he seems to have the ability to kind of get it downfield and get it down there in a hurry. Threw a really, really nice ball to Ray Joseph from, kind of far hash, I would say maybe like midfield, which in the IPF is like 40 yards, kind of delivered it like, back corner of the end zone to Ray Joseph, which again, I thought it was a strike. I thought he threw it with some velocity and put it where it needed to be. So I was encouraged about what we saw from Reese Poffenbarger today. Jakari agreed that this was probably the cleanest we've seen him look, especially early on of, just kind of being live. He delivered a really good ball to freshman wide receiver JoJo Trader for a touchdown, and he got behind his coverage, and a veteran walk-on quarterback in Miles Muyung, and Jakari put it exactly where it needed to be for JoJo to score a touchdown, and so I think all three of those guys look promising. And even kind of back end of at the end of practice, watch Judd Anderson and Emery Williams kind of just throwing again just routes on air to Ray Joseph, and Emery Williams recovering from that arm issue was out there, kind of grinded that thing out and kind of got back on the field, which I think is impressive. Shows a little bit more of that toughness that I think is one of his top traits. And then Judd Anderson, I think he has a good live arm. I think where he's going to have to develop over the next few years is just ball placement and where he's kind of able to, pinpoint that thing. So that's kind of just rapid fire takes on the five scholarship quarterbacks that I saw today.
Yeah, and then going to wide receivers, I think in one-on-ones, they dominated the defense for the most part. Now, you got to point out that a lot of members of the secondary are young or not playing. So anytime a receiver wasn't going against Daryl Porter or Jadis Richard, it was kind of an easy win for the receivers. But still, Xavier Restrepo was burning most everyone he went up against. Gabby referenced an impressive catch he made. I saw him make one against Savion Riley, the safety transfer from Vanderbilt. That was impressive. That Jacoby George did a nice job of creating separation consistently. The guy who popped to me today was Isaiah Horton. He continues to improve his body type in the strength and conditioning program. He's now wearing number 2, which, if you know how important numbers are to players, that tells you something in terms of the work he's putting in and what the coaches now think of him, because they're not going to give that number to someone that they don't think can be good. So he's got a big opportunity this spring. I'm curious to see what he does with it. I think he had a strong showing on day one. Young guys, I think Nykar, he's working on the outside. That's interesting. Robbie Washington and Nathaniel Joseph are working in the slot behind Xavier Restrepo. So to me, those are your top receivers. Running backs, nothing much to really touch on there, I don't think, because it's shorts and shirts. Trevante Citizen was out there, so that was good to see. He's in a big knee brace, so hopefully he can continue to get work as the spring progresses. Henry Parrish was the lead back with Mark Fletcher out. I don't remember seeing A.J. Allen. I don't know.
No.
Yeah, I don't think A.J. Allen was out there. Chris Wheatley Humphrey was out there, and Chris Johnson was out there. So, again, shorts and shirts. Tight end, to me, Gabby, one of the other interesting things we could see with just movement skills and all that, seemed like Elijah Arroyo was back to being who Elijah Arroyo was before the injury. Wasn't hesitant, looked confident in his knee. That was encouraging. And, I guess let's just start there. What about Elijah Lofton? Did he catch your eye? Because I thought he did a nice job of getting open in one-on-ones.
Yeah, Elijah Lofton definitely, caught my eye. One of the one-on-one reps I saw, they put him up against, I think it was a walk-on linebacker, but, kind of press coverage a little bit. And Isaiah Lofton essentially just got off the line, basically, ran right over him, knocked him to the floor, and then just kind of did a little out, and Cam Ward just threw it, basically threw it to a wide-open Elijah Lofton, who just, continued running. I just think he has a very unique blend of size, of strength and speed at, a unique size. It's, 6'2", in that 6'2" range, but, he's got some verified speed marks that make him really interesting and very versatile, and he's also a big-time guy in the weight room. So I think Elijah Lofton is going to be pretty fascinating to watch this spring, and with Elijah Royal healthy and a guy like Riley Williams, who he made a really good play today too. He made a one-handed catch in coverage on a ball from Reese Poffenbarger. Really, I think to me that might have been the play of the day, is just Riley Williams going up and making that one-handed grab on the sideline. And again, good ball from Poffenbarger to put it in a place where only Riley Williams can get it. And credit to Riley for making that play and coming down with it. I think it was a really good showing from those top three tight ends. I don't think we had Cam McCormick out there today. I think Jackson Carver was, doing a lot of run blocking stuff and working maybe as like the fourth tight end. But Elijah Lofton, Riley Williams, and Elijah Arroyo to me all looked definitely, they all flashed today. Elijah Arroyo made a really good play kind of on a slant, and again, kind of just displayed, some of that strength and his ability to make a contested catch and kind of fight through contact to kind of retain the ball and just kind of move forward with it. So excited about all those guys. And just what I've heard about Elijah Arroyo is that this is the healthiest that he's been, and Miami's optimistic that if he can stay healthy, that we're going to get a unique version of Elijah Arroyo, and he could potentially be in for a big year. So hopefully, we just continue to see Elijah Arroyo stack performances like this.
Yeah, Mario Cristobal said after the practice they want to get the tight end involved more this year, so that is a point of emphasis. Offensive line, first team left to right was Jalen Rivers, Samson Okunlola, Michael McLaughlin, Zach Carpenter, sorry, total brain fart, Indiana transfer, right guard, Inez Cooper, right tackle, Matthew McCoy. So they did rotate Luis Cristobal a little bit in their left guard with Samson, but it seemed like when they were really going live, it was Samson in with the first team left guard. They also had Tommy Kinsler, backup left tackle, and Markel Bell, right tackle backup. And Markel Bell's length, very impressive. He's all of 6'8". Does probably need to add some strength, does need to continue to get stronger in the weight room and improve his technique, but his body type cannot be taught. And as a long-term developmental guy, I am intrigued by him. D-line, defensive end, first team. Defensive line was Elijah Alston. Then we go Jared Harrison Hunt. Then we go Thomas Gore, who I was surprised to see out there, but he is still a Hurricane. So depth there is good with Thomas Gore coming back a little bit, and defensive end Reuben Bain. So that was your first team D line. Again, they're in shorts. I think C.J. Clark looks the part. Yep. as a big physical defensive tackle. Marley Cook, slightly bigger than Thomas Gore. You saw him blow up a play today in some inside run drill, Gabby.
Yeah, they were working on, again, all shorts and shirts, so no, there weren't pads popping or anything like that. But Marley Cook did seem quick out of his stance and got into the backfield during one of those inside run drills, and he was able to kind of, stop a run and, just kind of make that sort of impact. So, again, I think we just saw some of that, that speed. He's known as a pass rushing interior defensive lineman, and you kind of saw that get off and how quickly he kind of got his way into the backfield. So, Marley Cook, again, body type wise, I think from afar he looks similar to Thomas Gore, but when you get kind of up close, I think he's got a wider base than Thomas Gore, and I think he's probably got about 2 inches on him too. So he looks a little bit more compact, but I think he's definitely a couple levels above Thomas Gore as far as just body type wise. We'll see what the impact is, but I think C.J. Clark and Marley Cook both look the part. I think Elijah Alston, so many Elijahs, Elijah Alston. I think he looks the part too, as you know, a defensive end too. I think he's someone that, you know, obviously can rush the passer at a high level, and that's why Miami went to go get him. But you know, I think of the newcomers, Elijah Alston is another one that kind of caught my eye on the defensive line.
Linebacker, no Kiko Malinoa out there. So Wesley Bissaint was the top dog at linebacker. Along with Wesley, they would kind of rotate Popo Aguirre, Marcellus Pulliam, a little bit of Bobby Washington. So all those guys are getting some reps this spring. We'll see what they do again. Today's shorts and shirts, so tough to judge linebackers. But it does look like an athletic group. Camp Pruitt looks the part lengthwise, has to continue adding weight. I would say the same about Adarius Hayes. So it's a young, talented group that's going to be worth monitoring this spring. Secondary, again, I think Daryl Porter was probably the most consistent of the corners in one-on-ones. He just plays with poise, you know, consistent pass breakups. I thought Jadis Richard had his moments too, not quite as consistent as Daryl Porter, but that's encouraging. Those two were working on the outside. Again, Damari Brown is limited right now. Michelle Powell is working as the top nickel. You know, so his battles with Xavier Restrepo were interesting to watch for the most part. I think Restrepo got the best of him. But you can tell Michelle's an older guy. He's wearing number zero this year. And then the starting safeties when we watched was Jaden Harris and Savion Riley. So the spring's going to be a learning experience for those guys, and we'll see how they adapt. Anything you want to add on the secondary?
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing to add, you know, during those one-on-ones, Zaquan Patterson, a young, you know, young freshman safety, he had a nice pass breakup on a Cam Ward pass intended for Riley Williams. And, you know, again, I think he's displayed some of those coverage skills, you know, over the course of his high school career, and, you know, watching him kind of make a play in, you know, an early opportunity at the college level against, you know, guys who could potentially start it, you know, just encouraging about, you know, where he's kind of at. And, you know, so excited to watch Zaquan Patterson, you know, over the course of the spring. But that's really all I think Jadis Richard did look good. I watched him break up two passes. There are two, like, screens, but he kind of was, you know, he kind of, you know, read it, came up, made a play, broke, and, you know, kind of broke both of those up. So I thought Jadis Richard, from what I saw, had a pretty good day today.
Tell us about the recruits that were there.
Yeah, first day of spring practice, you know, Miami didn't waste any time getting recruits down to Coral Gables. Say the headliner of the day is Jabari Antoine. He's an LSU commit. Miami, again, wasting no time trying to poach talent from other people's recruiting classes, and they're getting the Louisiana-based cornerback around campus here on Monday. You know, he's one of the top cornerbacks in the country. He walked in a little bit later, probably like a few periods into the first practice. But again, Miami wants to recruit the Louisiana area heavily, with, you know, of course, Dennis Smith being from Louisiana, Lance Guidry, Jeffs Jackson, you know, former All SEC cornerback at LSU. I mean, it's a very important area, and I think Miami has some firepower to go into the state and try to sway some of those guys. So I think getting Jabari Antoine here is a big deal. They've liked him for a long time, and I believe this is his first time on campus. So we'll see how that goes. Cortez Mills is a guy we'll talk about maybe a little bit more in depth, you know, in a few minutes here, David. But the Homestead-based top 247 wide receiver, one of Miami's top wide receiver targets, was here checking out Miami for the first day of spring. That's a big deal, getting him around campus as much as possible. Ezekiel Marcelin, a linebacker out of Miami Central, is here with his family. Gerard Pringle is a running back that Matt Merritt quickly offered when he officially became the running backs coach at Miami. He's here. This is his first look at Miami since being offered, so I think this will be a big visit for him. He's got a bunch of programs after him, like Georgia, you know, Oklahoma's in there, Louisville, plenty of others, so a good opportunity for Miami to kind of make a good impression here. Demetrius Campbell is an offensive lineman from the Orlando area, a big offensive lineman from the Orlando area, kind of a developmental tackle type that Miami's kind of been evaluating and have liked for a little bit now. He's also here on campus. And Chris Ewald, the cornerback out of Hollywood Chaminade Madonna Prep, he was supposed to be here. I didn't see him, but I saw, you know, some Chaminade people around, so maybe I just didn't catch him, but he was expected to be here on Monday as well. And you know, that's sort of the group that's here now. It's a good solid group for day one, and with it being a Monday.
Yeah, and you mentioned Cortez Mills. So on Sunday, Under Armour had their Miami camp, just which attracts some of the top players in the area. And there's two guys, Gabby, I think that we should highlight that performed well. You can check out the full recaps on InsideTheU.com. But two guys to me kind of stood out amongst the others at the camp from a podcast perspective. Number one, Cortez Mills, the wide receiver out of Homestead. Number two, Joshua Moore, the wide receiver out of West Broward, correct?
Yeah.
Mills, to me, impressive with his separation. Does a nice job of creating space while running his routes. And Josh Moore, just kind of a physical specimen. Still raw, I would say, with route running. But he is, I don't know, all of 6'3", 200 plus, and he can move at that size. So he is an intriguing prospect. On the day, Cortez was better, but long term, Josh Moore is very, very intriguing. Anything you want to add there?
Yeah, I mean, again, I thought Cortez was really, really good. I mean, extremely impressive. I mean, you see why schools like Clemson, you know, really want him, and you know, other programs like that. I know Oklahoma, Florida, other schools like that are involved in his recruitment. Josh Moore, that's the first time I've seen him work out since this last summer when he and like his 7-on-7 team, you know, they performed here at Miami. And I feel like he's taken significant, I feel like he's taken strides since I watched him here last, you know, over the summer. I just thought he's kind of a big, long wide receiver that's still getting really raw, and he still is. But I think, you know, some of the plays that he was able to make, his body control at that size, I thought was impressive at times. You know, I think he showed off some level of athleticism when he had to like jump over a chair and then land and then like hurdle the fence all in like three steps. So he's definitely got some level of athleticism, but yeah, I do agree that he's raw, but, the tools that he has to work with is, it's kind of what Miami's looking for. Right. And what we keep talking about, like Miami kind of needs that bigger outside wide receiver who can kind of, you know, win down the field. And I think Josh Moore down the line could potentially develop into that, has schools like Georgia, Florida State, LSU on him. So there's going to be plenty of competition, but it sounds like Miami's one of those schools that's in a really good spot. And he has an official visit locked in for June 14th. So he'll spend a weekend around the program here this summer.
All right. We'll get out of here on that note. Again, check out InsideTheU.com for even more in-depth coverage from day one of spring football, and as always, Miami Hurricanes football recruiting. Till next time, take care.